This is What You Need to Know, a new series on writersvoice.net.
It was stolen. It is widespread, and it is completely accountable by the mischief I detailed in The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
Today, we get an update from our September interview with investigative reporter Greg Palast about his film and book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. We caught up with Palast December 1st for a post-election comment and his take on the recounts. Our interview was delayed for an hour because Jill Stein had just called Palast with a rush request for information to help the recounts she's pursuing in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Well, Greg Palast, welcome back to Writer's Voice. Now, we have been airing this week the interview I did with you about your film and book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, but we did that interview before the election, so this is an update. First of all, were you surprised at the results of the election?
I made a whole film about how Trump was going to steal the election and detailed how he was going to do it, so I was hardly surprised. I'm probably one of the few people that breathed a sigh of relief because I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to look like a complete idiot. I made a film saying Trump's going to steal the election. And, so, yes, it may be disastrous for the country, but, you know, my film's saved.
Yeah. Now you sound like...
it's really taking off. It's really mercenary of me, I suppose, but the sales of the film is zooming, which is and it's now on Amazon, so you don't have to spend $12 to buy popcorn to see it.
Oh, that's great. Well, now you sound like Leslie Moonves of CBS.
Exactly. Well, that's right. That creepy little guy. But it is horrific, and I'm not talking about the fact that Trump is going to be president. That's a partisan issue. That's a different matter. I'm talking about democracy. It was stolen. Okay, 10,000 votes in Michigan, 20 in Wisconsin, 65 in Pennsylvania. These are just microscopic in our nation. And then questionable votes in North Carolina, Ohio, Arizona, Florida. It is widespread, and it is completely accountable by the mischief I detailed in The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And I am, in fact, this interview was a bit delayed as the Stein people are getting, technical information from me that will help them guide the recount. This is not a partisan matter. I'll help anyone, Republican, Democrat, Green, Purple, who wants to get to the bottom of what happened to our votes. So I'm grateful that one campaign has taken it on, and I would like to see the Clinton campaign, since they've got a bunch of money sitting around, they can certainly get more. They have the resources to dig into Florida and North Carolina, Ohio, and Arizona, and that should be done to expose what's happened. I don't expect, by the way, some miraculous change here, because a lot of the problems encountered in the original vote just come back, and you can't necessarily undo them. People removed from the voter rolls, if they didn't fill out a provisional ballot, there's no way to fight for their vote. I talk in my film about a system called cross-check, removing 1 million voters of color, especially in those swing states, about 50,000 in Michigan, five times Trump's plurality. But it's not clear that even if you say these people were wrongly removed, that you get to count their vote. They're either on the rolls or not. Different states have different rules, and you got to fight it.
So one issue is, of course, the one that you stressed in your film, which is the wholesale and, we would say, really criminal purging of the voter rolls by the Republican Party. And that has to do with voter suppression efforts. But there are some other ways that you also have been talking about that you've seen, suspicious signs, things like disqualified ballots and exit poll comparisons.
Yes.
Talk about
those. Well, in fact, in The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, there's a cartoon. In fact, if you go to gregpalast.com, there's one of the cartoons from The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Which are done, by the way, by the guy who did Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and who drew that. And it's about the 10 ways your vote can just go kablooey and not get counted, you know, including one of the big ones in Michigan and Wisconsin, by the way, is what's called spoiled ballots. How do ballots spoil? Well, you don't leave them out of the fridge. They're mismarked in some way and they get thrown out. The thing is that there's a huge racial bent in whose votes get thrown out. According to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, the chance your vote will spoil, that is, for a technical reason, not get counted, is about 900% higher if you're black than if you're white. Now, if you look at in Michigan, you have an epidemic of ballots that were where people voted for two presidential candidates. Now, the Detroit schools suck, but that doesn't. But still, people know that there's one president, and you get to vote for one. So people aren't voting for two presidents. If you vote for two candidates, you lose your vote. You lose the entire vote.
So you're saying that they were actually marked post-vote?
Well, there's a couple ways this happens. The number one suspicion of Robert Fetrakis, the brilliant vote process lawyer who is running the recount for Stein, is miscalibration of machines. That the machine, you get these cards, and it used to be that you punched holes in them, and those created the hanging chads. You'd punch a hole, and you didn't realize that a little piece of paper still stuck there. So your chad would be hung, and your vote would be lost. So they said, okay, well, instead we'll just have people mark, fill in a bubble. And if you fill in the bubble, the problem with filling in the bubble is that if you fill out an extra bubble, lose your vote. Well, who does that? The answer is, one, real mischief could be done because someone could literally add a couple marks and disqualify your ballot. So in other words, it's a lot easier to disqualify someone's ballot. You don't change someone's vote. You just disqualify it by putting an extra mark on their ballot. That's real easy to do. But more likely, the biggest one, because it's done on a wholesale basis, is the machines are miscalibrated. So
on purpose?
That extra mark may have been actually the mark for a Senate campaign, for example, or another race, or a stray mark that had nothing to do with that vote, or even a mark on the ballot, something printed on the ballot that's being read by the machine as a vote. A candidate's name that appeared in the space where the optical reader is supposed to read the vote and says, oh, they voted twice. So what you do is that you're supposed to look at the ballots. It's real simple to find this problem. You take a look with the human eye, which is much better than an optical scanner. But the human eye is a very good scanner and will say, oh, there's only one vote here for president, or that's a fly poop on the ballot, that's not a vote. And they have to literally eyeball 2.7 million ballots in Wisconsin and more than that in Michigan. The problem being right now that Bob Fetrakis, the chief lawyer for the recount, is saying is that you've got 19 counties in Wisconsin which are dead flat refusing to let them look at the ballots. In other words, they paid for the recount. They're going in to look at the ballots, and the political stooges appointed by Republican Scott Walker in Wisconsin on the election commission, which he created, have said, well, you don't really have to let the Stein team in to count. The county officials can say, we'll do it ourselves, God forbid, because these are the guys would have manipulated the vote in the first place. And so they say, we'll look at it ourselves. Or the second, they say, they might not even look at the ballots, but rather stick them back through the machines. And if the machines were miscalibrated, you're going to get the same stupid result again. You know, I have to understand, the state made them put up $3 million for the cost of this, and it could rise. And they may not even actually get a recount. And as Fetrakis says, there's 19 counties which are refusing, and of course those are the ones you really want to look at, because if someone's refusing to let you look at the ballots, believe me, those are the ballots you want to look at, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, are you saying that they might have deliberately miscalibrated the machines, or it was just an honest mistake?
There are no honest mistakes in voting. There are mistakes. Now, let me explain two things. A very subtle difference, which is vitally important in the vote counting game. There's often bad machines, miscalibrated machines. If they miscalibrate, something goes wrong, votes are tangled up so they don't get counted, they get kicked out of the machine as uncountable. If they're your candidate's If you, it's your candidate's problem, you go and fix it. If it's an error that costs the other guy votes, you say, ooh, isn't that too bad? That is, by the way, the main way votes are stolen in America, not through a very deliberate act of manipulation, but generally the voting, everything from voting machines and reading absentee ballots, all this stuff, there's endless errors. And if you know the errors are going to occur because you put bad machines in bad neighborhoods low-income neighborhoods, you know that there's going to be errors, or there's errors that favor your candidate, and you don't correct the errors, because if it hurts your opponent or helps you, you say, isn't that interesting? Like when you say, there are precincts which had more votes cast than voters, right? So you'd say, well, so why didn't they go back and say, well, let's look at what happened with those votes. How did that happen? The machine's miscalibrated. Something's wrong, right? There may have been votes already in the machine. They weren't zeroed out before the voting started. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong. But if they go wrong in your favor, you go, what can we say?
And you also point out, I think I've seen you pointing out since the election, that it's a whole bunch of different things. So far we've talked about purging of the voter rolls, not counting provisional ballots.
And then those dots, the OptiScan ballot errors.
Right. And actually,
overvotes and undervotes.
We didn't talk about not counting provisionals. And I saw how provisional ballots that were cast in my election district when I was an election official, I followed them all the way through to the counting of the provisional ballots and discovered that a large proportion, about a third of the ballots, just disappeared.
Yes, that's correct. That's a national number, by the way. That is about one-third of provisional ballots never get counted, and for all kinds of cockamamie reasons. Now, to me, if someone has cast a ballot, especially you're in New York, it's an affidavit. You're signing saying, I'm a legal voter. My name was missing from the ballot, or they didn't like my ID, or they didn't like my signature, so they threw me into this provisional ballot. And you're signing under penalty of perjury, under penalty of going to jail, that you are a legit voter, and somehow your name, they're blocking you. That vote should count unless someone has information otherwise, that you are a criminal. And then if you have lied, you should go to prison. It's real simple. But they know that these are not illegal voters. It's a gotcha system. Well, and unfortunately, it's not random. It's racial. Mm-hmm. It's income-driven. And it's about one-third are knocked out. And they're in the last election, there were over 2.7 million provisional ballots cast in the 12th presidential election. I will bet in this election, with all these new rules about ID and everything else, so if you have the wrong ID, the ID they don't like, you brought a student ID and you're supposed to, and they don't accept that, it has your picture, it's University of Wisconsin state ID with your photo on it, you are you, but they won't accept it, they give you a provisional ballot, that ballot should count. Now, in Wisconsin, if they don't like your ID, you have 5 days to return with the right ID, if you can get it. You know, go get your drive, you know, how do you do that, right? And so very few people actually do that, so they lose their vote, even though that they're clearly legit voters. So now, Fetrakis is going to argue that these voters should not have been removed. That's going to be an uphill fight. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he doesn't even know why someone's been knocked off the rolls, why they are not counted. I mean, he's got to fight these. Then he's got to fight absentee ballots, which go through the same crazy business where they'll say, you have a suspicious signature, whatever the hell that means. Well, to me, if that's supposed to mean that someone sent in your ballot and cast your ballot for you, well, if that's true, they should go and find that person and arrest them, but not disqualify your ballot. Like in Oregon, if they have questions about your signature, they call you up. They send you a note, they make several calls to you, and they say, is this your ballot? Did you send this in, or did someone send it in? Did someone steal your ballot and send it in? And basically 100% of the time, because they never find anyone who steals your ballot and puts it in, you go to prison for that, right? Who's going to bother, right? But, you know, 100% of the time when they actually reach people, they say, no, I sent that in, right. And they count it. Michigan, Wisconsin, you send in a ballot, they go, suspicious signature, out the window.
Wow. Now, in your film, Greg Palast, in The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, you followed around a guy named Kris Kobach, who is now, could be Trump's attorney general. Tell us, and Kobach, of course, is the guy behind a lot of this cross-check. He is the architect of one of the toughest immigration laws in the country. He has been responsible for really pushing these voter suppression laws. Such a wacky guy that he actually said that maybe Obama opposes proof of citizenship laws because he's not a citizen.
That's right. So this is the highest elected official birther in America. He is the guy who wrote SB 1070, the driving while Brown law that was struck down mostly by the courts as racist. He is the guy who told Trump to build a wall, make Mexico pay for it. And he's likely not to be attorney general. That's going to be, unfortunately, Jeff Sessions, who's, frankly, there's no other way to describe him other than a racist trog. But even worse, this guy's going to probably be head of Homeland Security, which also puts him in charge of immigration and spying on you, domestic spying. So this is a very creepy, dangerous thing. And Kris Kobach, in my film, I actually jump him. He wouldn't meet with me. He's Trump's, basically, vote suppressor-in-chief. And he refused to meet with me. Well, I learned from BBC something that American reporters don't do. You say you're not going to meet with me, I'm going to meet with you. So I found out that he was going to have an ice cream social, Republican Party ice cream social in a public park. So I actually flew in from Paris, France, a cameraman who's been in war zones so that you know what to do on the fly. And I jumped this guy, and the way I got through without being questioned is I had a microphone, one of these handheld microphones, which I never use, a handheld microphone, and had one of those cubes on it with the number 4, so I looked like I was from Eyewitness News, right, local Eyewitness News. But by the time I got next to him and he recognized me, and he knew exactly who I was, by the time he recognized me, I shook his hand, which I wouldn't let go of, by the way. It was too late because he thought I was a local newsman from a distance with the 4. Actually, I was working with Channel 4 News, so it was legit. But I confronted him with his showing that his lists of people he was purging for claiming that they were double, that they were voting in two states. I, you know, showed him that his lists were completely phony, and he denied that these were his lists. He was shocked that I had them supposed to be confidential. So I just nailed him with the facts. That's in the film. Well, the sad thing is that, you know, I nailed him in the film, but I couldn't get the states to wake up and stop this stuff. And, of course, some states were more than thrilled to get this stuff. You're talking of the 7 swing states, Hillary won in every one by the exit polls, but lost in the final count in all but one, one being Virginia, which is the only swing state controlled by Democrats.
Wow.
Voting.
Now,
yeah.
So you mentioned you weren't able to stop it at the time. Now we have a recount. What can be done by ordinary citizens at this point to support the recount and the efforts to counter the obvious success of this voter suppression effort in the swing states?
Yeah, I mean, we had a stolen election. So if you're in one of the recount states, Michigan, Wisconsin, or Pennsylvania, please volunteer. They need 1,000 volunteers for each state. Because someone actually has to, if they get these rights, they have to eyeball these votes. Pennsylvania is the hardest because it's most 70% machine, electronic, direct voting machines, push and pray machines, as we call them. But there's still 30% votes on paper, absentee ballots, et cetera, which can be counted. But you need someone to look at those ballots and say, wait a minute, this absentee ballot should not have been thrown out. This absentee ballot was a vote for Hillary Clinton. Then they have to put those in a pile and basically fight them out. And they'll say, well, they had the wrong envelope. That's a typical one. Wrong postage. You know, they put their different return address on the outside, all kinds of cockamamie stuff. And then Fitrakis and his legal team have got to fight it. And he's telling me, you know, it's very difficult. They've got hundreds of volunteer attorneys. And that's one thing that Hillary is good at. Hillary supplied attorneys who are mostly, between us, pretty useless. They were useless before the election. They're kind of useless now because they don't know how to fight. They go into these rural. You're going up into some rural Michigan. You're in Upper Peninsula Michigan, you know, up there next to Canada, and you know, And you've got these guys, you know, in their hunting hats and stuff, and you got some New York lawyers shows up and they say scram, right. You know. And these guys, a lot of them, especially the ones in the Hillary campaign, have no idea how to fight. They don't know how to pound the table and say, listen, Jack, you're about to get an injunction mm-hmm. up your jockeys unless you hand over the ballots. You know, that's the, you know, so it's a fight.
Yeah.
It is ballot by ballot fight. Well, so please join in if you're a lawyer and you have some cojones, you're needed. But if you're a volunteer, we need people to actually look at ballots. America is calling you, and if you're nearby. The other is that start pounding Hillary. She's got the money to challenge Florida, to challenge Arizona. Whisper close, completely stolen. Florida has a horrible, I mean, for God's sake, it's Florida. They steal votes left and right. They throw votes in the dumpster left and right. Like you say, just going through the provisional ballots and saying, why is this ballot not counted? So I think if people start bombarding Hillary Clinton, and the other thing is, frankly, I mean, you know, it's self-serving in a way, but if you want to stop a theft, you have to know something about how they stole it from you. So go see the film. Even better, I'll tell you what, absolutely free, no cost. Here's a great offer. On my site at gregpalace.com, Keith Tucker has created a 57-page comic book of the film and the theft of the election, which you can download gratis. Just go to gregpalace.com, go down the, and go get your free comic book. It's of the theft of the election.
Investigative reporter Greg Palast. His website is gregpalace.com, and his latest movie and book are The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.